إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد، praises to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His help and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever He leads astray has no one to guide him. I testify that there is no God but Allah alone, there is no partner to Him, and I testify that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. May Allah's prayers and blessings be upon him and his folk and companions. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. O those of you who believe, fear Allah and let each soul look at what it has put forth for the morrow, and fear Allah. Verily, Allah knows what you do.
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
And do not be like those who have forgotten Allah, for themselves have forgotten their souls, and they are the fasiqun, they are the rebellious ones. Many times we talk about taqwa, and here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that there's a relationship between dhikr, or not forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taqwa. And one of the things that we will realize, that we should think, is when we read this Quran, this is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it asks us to think. So this is one of the things that we should search and see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after mentioning taqwa, goes on and mentions those who have forgotten Allah, and then mentions that they are the fasiqun. So there is some link that we should search for. So one of the first things that we should do is straighten our understanding of dhikr. What is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what does it mean not to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Unfortunately now what dhikr has come to mean for us is when we just sit down and we just do tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Oh boy, the imam went a little over the prayer today. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And my wife, she asked me to bring some groceries home. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Oh, you know, I need to get some gas for the car as well. Our mind is somewhere else, where we are counting things on our fingers. But our mind is not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is the case, then we're not really doing dhikr. Yes, you may be counting on your fingers, but where is your mind? Because that is what is expected from us. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks. He looks at our a'mal and what is in our hearts. So if our hearts and our minds are somewhere else, then we're not really doing dhikr, or at least we're not doing full dhikr. So, to start from the origins, or the real dhikr, is to first understand our place in this world, and to understand what we were created for, and what is that it that is around us, and what is our relationship with respect to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many things around us that should remind us of this. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب.
Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the changing of the night and the day, there are signs for those of understanding. So subhanAllah, now that we have such much more knowledge than the people who came before us about space, and the vastness of space and our universe, and the smallness of the earth, and not just the earth, we have come to realize the smallness of even the solar system, or even our whole galaxy. If you look at it with respect to the whole universe, it's almost nothing. It's very small. If you were to look at it from a distance, you wouldn't be able to see it. Right? And this is the whole of the solar system. Not to mention the Earth. If you looked at the solar system, the Earth would be such a small planet. And then we are talking about ourselves, which if you just look at the Earth from the moon or even closer up, you cannot see the people walking on it. They're smaller than ants. And compared to the universe and to all that is in there, we're smaller than the ant is to us. But yet, this is something that we forget. And subhanAllah, the more that the people who believe, they learn about this, the more it increases their iman, the more it makes them reflect and realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and realize the greatness of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place, and His creations, and how insignificant the human is, except with the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of thing that for the mu'min, it increases his iman. And for the disbeliever, it increases his disbelief. Because then he says, oh look, now we've discovered this and that. And therefore he comes to the conclusion that God doesn't exist. Whereas subhanahu wa ta'ala, it just proves exactly his qudra and his might and all that he has created. So then we should look at, once we realize our place in this universe and how small we are and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a big blessing that He has created us and created everything on earth for us. And we should realize our place. Then what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for? It's not just to play any games. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the jinn and the ins, the humans, except that they worship me. So what is it that worship is? Worship means, unfortunately many times we forget what it means, is that we are his abd, his servant and his slave. That means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do something, we do it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us not to do something, we try to avoid it as best we can. This is the significance of being Muslim and for understanding our place and what we were created for. And we weren't just created so that everything would be easy for us in this world, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Did the people think that they would be left to say, we believe, without being tested? Indeed, Allah tested those who came before them, and Allah will surely know those who were truthful, and He will know those that were lying. So it is easy to say that we believe. And we can see all the people and the generations that came before us, the Ahlul Kitab, the Christians, the Jews, and those who came before them. We have seen that some of them, they outright disbelieved, and some of them, they said they believed, but their actions and their deeds betrayed them, and they left their religion piece by piece. And after they started leaving their orders, and after they became fasiq and rebellious, then they started to disbelieve in what came down to them. Because if you continue to do bad deeds, then insan has a tendency to try to justify to himself that what he is indeed doing is not wrong. So within time, then insan tends to go towards making things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal, haram, and vice versa. So this is the thing that we need to put in our hearts and realize that just as we fear the things and that we expect the things that we come to believe in this world, we should do the same things, respond the same way to things that we say we believe. For example, let's just look at what we do with our kids. Don't we send them to school, right, from the age of 6 or 7 or whatever, to until they are at least 18, and many times we hope to send them to college as well, so then they'll be almost 23 or so, and maybe then they'll do their master's and PhD. But even forget that, let's say about 23. So almost 20 years of their life, what are we doing? We're making them get up a certain hour, we're making them do their homework, and once they get to college, yes, we know they'll be spending some sleepless nights, and they'll be doing this, and they'll be doing that, trying to keep up with their work. Why? Why do we do all of this? And to think of it, it's almost 20 years, and it's actually a very expensive proposition. Just college itself can cost a lot, but even before that, the things that you have to buy for them to go to school and prepare them. Why are we spending this time, our time, and our children's time, and our money to do this? Because we think that maybe in the future they will have a better future if they do this. But it's just a guess. For we don't know, maybe the child will die when he's 19 or 20, before he finishes all this. So we spent all this money and we spent all this time and he spent all his time and his money. For what? He died before getting any of the fruits of all of this. Or he could drop out, or he could die at the age of 6, or later, or earlier. Do you have any guarantees? No, we have no guarantees. And we don't even know if they'll find a good job. Maybe by that time, the thing that he studied will be out of, will no longer be popular, and he won't have to know this, and he can't find any jobs. But yet, we expect that his chances increase. We don't really have iman that he's going, just by sending him to school, that he's going to get better, but we just think it might be possible. But the things that we say that we really believe in, that we have iman in, do we also view things the same way? Do we prepare our kids and ourselves for the akhirah? Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to fear Allah and to look forward to what we have prepared for the next life. Are we doing that? Are we preparing our kids for the next life? Because for sure we know that all of us are going to reach the next life, ourselves and our kids included. Although we don't know if the kid is going to reach the age of 40 or 60 to benefit from what he learned in college and school. But we know he's going to go to the akhirah. So are we preparing ourselves and are we preparing our children for what awaits them? Do we make them put in the same time for the deen as much as we put them for the school? This is something that we should ask. And this is how we should test and ask ourselves and see, What is it that we really believe? Do we really believe the things of this earth? Or do we really believe it when we say that we believe in the Qur'an and that we believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us? And one of the things perhaps is that we forget the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants something, he says to it, be, and it will be. This is unimaginable power, my brothers. This is something that if we took to our hearts, we would probably not be able to get up again. But we are short in our iman, and we are short in our understanding. For such is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, imagine, if he says, be, meaning for the whole universe to be gone, it will be gone. Can you imagine what power this is? Can we imagine and understand this? And can we imagine that the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for the Muslims in this world and especially in the next life? That the next life will be forever. That you will get whatever you desire. That there will be no vain talk, no bad things. That there will be no sickness and no death. Can we imagine the benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us if we are true in our worship to Him? And not be like the people who came before us when they were told, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. They were ordered what? Just so that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so then we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But worship, many times we forget. Some of us think, oh yes, as long as we kind of are good in our hearts, or sometimes we even think, oh, as long as we pray. No, my brothers, yes, we have to pray and be good in our hearts and do the good deeds. But also we need to be doing it for the right reason. And we need to make our niyyah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also our minds, we need to put our minds in there. So that when we're praying or when we're doing tasbih, we are actually doing dhikr. And we're doing dhikr to the best of our abilities. Because dhikr is not that we come and we pray and then we go and then we do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us not to do. And I want to give us just one example. It is not the only example, but it is one of the clearest things that I find in the Quran and the Sunnah. And the reason it is because it is mentioned in both, this thing is mentioned both in the first in the Quran, and then also in Sahih Bukhari, and then Sahih Muslim, and in other hadith as well. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about one of the most destructive sins. As was mentioned in a hadith in both Bukhari and Muslim, this is as sahih as you can get of the hadith. And there, one of the things that are mentioned to us is that riba is one of the seven destructive sins. And in spite of that, and even more important than all of this, is the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل قل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
Those who eat riba, they will not get up except as the one who Shaitan has touched, that is because they said, yeah, meaning buying and selling or trading, is like riba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made buying and trading halal, and He has made riba haram. So whoever gets an admonishment from his Lord, and he gives up, meaning gives up the riba, then his amr, His order is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever returns, then they are the people of the fire. They will be in it forever. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ.
O those of you who believe, fear Allah and leave whatever remains from riba, if you are indeed believers. And if you do not do so, then be forewarned of a war from Allah and His Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues,
وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ.
And if you repent, then to you is your capital money. You will not oppress and you will not be oppressed. And also in Sahih Muslim, it is narrated on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله رواه مسلم وزاد ترمذي وغيره وشاهديه وكاتبه. As narrated in Sahih Muslim, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed the one who eats riba and the one who feeds it. And in Tirmidhi and in other hadith, it's also mentioned that the one who's cursed is the one who eats it, the one who feeds it, and the two witnesses, and the one who writes it down. Which shows us that anything with this is haram. And why do I bring it? Because as I said, it is a very clear example. It exists in the Quran, and in fact there's almost a whole page on riba. And then it's mentioned in other places as well, and comes in the Sahih Hadith. And it being so clear, yet people want to debate about it, or they want to go and find people who will give them a fatwa to justify it. As if a fatwa can justify something that is in the Quran. The Ahl al-Kitab tried that before. They have usury that is prohibited in their books as well. But their scholars and their ulama, they started saying, well, only if it's a certain amount, that's for the Christians. And the Jews, their scholars said, well, as long as it's not a Jew, you can take and give interest to a non-Jew. Okay? So these are the things that they forgot and that they left behind in spite of the fact that it was in their books. And these are the things that we need to be aware of. For as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about the Ahlul Kitab, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They took their rabbis and their priests as lords besides Allah. And one of the Sahabi, before he became Muslim, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting this, he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, قَالَ فَقُلْتُ إِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَعْبُدُوهُمْ. Meaning, the Sahabi went to the Prophet ﷺ when he heard this, he was a Christian at the time, and he said, they don't worship their priests and their rabbis. فقال, meaning the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلَا إِنَّهُمْ حَرَّمُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْحَلَالِ وَحَلُّوا لَهُمُ الْحَرَامِ فَاتَّبَعُوهُمْ فَذَلِكَ عِبَادَتَهُمْ إِيَّاهُمْ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, indeed, they made haram which Allah made halal, and they made halal which Allah made haram, and they followed them, meaning the people followed them, and that is their worship of them. So this is something that we need to keep in our hearts and realize what we were ordered to do, and what as Muslims, this is not the only hukum, but as Muslims, when we look at what we are doing, we should look and see first in the Quran what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, and then we should look and see is this halal or haram before we proceed to do something. If we have determined that it's halal or mubah or whatever, then we can do it. But if it is haram, then this is something that we should avoid. And just like you prepare your kids, you don't want them to fail in class, and you put a lot of effort into that, we should do that for ourselves and our kids as well, so that we and they are successful in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us also, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And it's not for a believing man or for a believing male or female, if a matter is ordained by Allah and His Messenger, to have an option about their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has indeed strayed astray clearly. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. And I just want to briefly summarize for shortness of time. One other thing that we should consider is that one of the things, our biggest enemies is Shaytan. And we should look at what he did. And in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many ayahs which describe exactly what happened. For briefness of time, I will summarize just the English version. And when your Lord said to the Malaika, I am going to create a human from clean, from mud or clay. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I made him and blew into him my ruh, they fell down to him, sajideen, prostrating. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ And all the malaika, they prostrated. Except, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Except Iblis, he was haughty, and he was from one of the kafirs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ O Iblis, what prohibited you from prostrating down to what I created with my hands? أَسْتَكْبَرْتَ أَن كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ Are you haughty, or were you from one of those of high? Meaning you were too high to bow down to him. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire, and you created him from mud. قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Get out of it, for you are outcast. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ And upon you will be my curse until the day of judgment, or the day of religion. قَالَ رَبِّي فَانْظُرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ He said, My Lord, wait upon me until the day that they are brought forth. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, You are one of those who will be waited upon. Meaning that shaitan will be still there till the day of judgment. So, what is it that we learn from this? One of the things that we learn is shaitan knew the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And in fact, he said to him, My Lord, wait for me until the day that they are brought forth. But yet he was one of the kafirs. Because if we look at what he is doing, he has rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. And he has rejected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to order him to do anything. Because he deemed himself to be superior or above. And as Muslims we should learn from this and realize that Iman has conditions and this, we should satisfy these things. That Iman isn't just that we said we believe, but it is also that we implement. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the ayah that we mentioned before, Allah will test us to find out those that are from among us that are truthful and those that are among us who are not truthful. So this is something that we should take to our hearts and correct ourselves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one of the great ayahs, which I will read in Arabic, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us His infinite mercy and says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Say, my servants that have أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ which basically means that they have wronged themselves. Don't give up hope on the rahmah or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is all forgiving, most merciful. So it is just what is required from a Muslim or for a believer, is even if we fall into the temptations of this world, and even if we make mistakes, whatever it may be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, as long as we put it into our hearts that we want to follow Him, and that we realize His place, and that we realize our place as a small little creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and has given a huge responsibility. And if I had had more time, I would have continued the ayahs that we began with. But in there, if we had continued two more ayahs down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if He had brought down the Qur'an upon the mountains, then from the fear of Allah, they would have shaken and they have humbled themselves and shaken asunder. Why? Because they realize the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make sure that our hearts are not like the hearts of the Yahud, which became harder than rocks and harder than the mountains. So we should make our hearts soft so that we can accept that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us, and do our best to follow Him and give up that which He has ordered us to give up.
اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا ربنا حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان يا عباد الله اتقوا الله اتقوا الله حق تقاته أوصيكم بتقوى الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر وأقم الصلاة